We're joined now in studio by Dan Collins. He was the focus of a cover story in the Baton Rouge Business Report a few weeks ago. Swamptail, a local landman's long-running environmental whistleblower suit against the state, speaks to larger issues about conflict, controversy, and trust in the Atchafalaya Basin. And for more than a decade, Dan Collins has been fighting the state in a whistleblower lawsuit over environmental violations that he uncovered while doing work in the Atchafalaya Basin for the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources. He won his suit in December of 15. A jury awarded him $750,000, but he's still waiting on his money, and some of the issues that he spoke out against are still permeating in this state and in the Acadiana area. Good morning, Dan Collins.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
The story was cover story, as noted, from Stephanie Regal, and I would imagine the last month you've gotten some attention that you otherwise would not have.
That's right, Jim. It's good to see that the local, the Capitol, is actually reporting this, because up to date, the majority of reporting has come out of Lafayette, Louisiana. So, well, Stephanie did a very good job.
And this dispute, it began in 2007, didn't it?
Actually, it spans back. My firm did work starting in 1998 with the Department of Natural Resources, but it was 2007 when we first identified this problem. What we later discovered was an oil and gas access canal instead of the water quality project that it was touted to the public.
And you believe, based on your expert knowledge, that this was not an accident?
Not at all, Jim. In fact, it involves hundreds of millions of dollars. They actually dredged what was supposed to be just a minor dredge at the mouth of this bayou known as Bayou Postillion. They dredged 3 miles into the interior of the basin and subsequently drilled 7 very productive natural gas wells.
The Atchafalaya Basin is the largest river swamp in North America, containing 1 million acres of some of the country's most significant bottomland hardwoods, swamps, and bayous, and backwater lakes. And it is the focus of a dispute that was featured in a groundbreaking story from Stephanie Regal in the Baton Rouge Business Report, a front cover story from a magazine that's not known for environmental coverage. But Dan Collins, somehow, some way, they focused on Bayou Postillion, and now a lot of people are buzzing about your long-running suit. You received a jury award of $750,000, but so far you haven't received anything.
That's correct, Jim. December of 2015, we won a unanimous jury's decision. The state appealed, and we had oral arguments with the First Circuit Court of Appeal on the 20th of February, so we're now waiting. Patiently waiting, I might add.
All right. 877-217-5757 or 297-5633. Bruce in Walden. Good morning, Bruce. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, Jim. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Dan and I go to the same church, so I've been hearing his story now for a few years. And the thing that impressed me less than the oil and gas greed, which, you know, I take for granted, is the degree of governmental corruption that pervades the story. I wish you would address that for a minute. It might help all of us.
You believe the government was complicit?
Absolutely. In fact, we brought this to I brought it to Secretary Scott Angel. It was brought to the top at the Jindal administration. In fact, it went through Timmy Tippel directly to Jindal. The Attorney General Caldwell. It was actually a well orchestrated cover up, in my opinion. It's because of the amount of money that we're dealing with. Not only did the state pay for the actual dredging, but it was a way to circumvent permitting and mitigation. But they discovered significant reserves, and I believe that it was just nothing more than a cover-up for the entire time period of the Jindal administration, so for the eight years.
But you noted, Dan, that your dispute began in 2007 before Bobby Jindal took office. So these actions that you believe were designed to make this more of a industry project than an environmental one, they began long before Bobby Jindal became governor.
That's correct. The project actually started, Jim, in the year 2000, and it wasn't dredged.
That would be in the Mike Foster
era. That's correct. It was a Mike Foster project to begin with. In fact, the predominant, the CEO landowner on either side of the dredge was related to Mike Foster. However, Governor Foster wouldn't sign the source documents, and so it was spun from one administration over into the other, into the Blanco administration. In fact, I didn't discover this until the year 2007, but the dredge actually took place in 2005. It was the subsequent...
That was when Blanco was governor.
That's correct. And we actually brought it to the Department of Natural Resources Secretary Scott Angell in 2007, in the waning, you would say, the waning months of the Blanco administration. So it was rolled over from one administration into another.
So we're talking three administrations.
That's correct.
Two Republicans, one Democrat, all, in your view, complicit with this.
That's correct. Absolutely.
Well, you note in the story from the Business Report that when the state cut its deal with landowners to acquire the rights to dredge the bayou, it gave up all but 25 feet of access in the middle of the bayou, essentially turning over the rest of the canal and its lucrative water bottoms to the private landowners.
Jim, it's amazing to think that the state would dredge a 150 to 200 foot wide bayou, turn it into an oil field access canal, and only reserve 25 feet in the middle of the bayou, but they did. We found that documents that my firm normally secures, goes out and secures a signature on, they gave that task to the landowner, the same landowner who was related to Governor Foster. He couldn't get all of the signatures, so he simply erased the names of the parties who wouldn't sign. But it's the most unusual transfer of state-owned properties that I've ever seen. And doing this type of work for the last 38 years, it's just amazing to think that someone could be so bold and get away with this.
Some people made a whole lot of money, didn't they?
Significant money. The seven wells at the end of the dredge were producing almost a billion cubic feet of gas a month. And the revenue was just phenomenal. But, you know, our story unfolds information that I've never seen as a petroleum landman in my entire career. They changed names on the bayou when it came to the public bidding process for state oil and gas leases. They actually changed the name to make it look like it was 20 miles on the other side of the basin. And just unheard of. The actual permit for the Army Corps of Engineers, they put the wrong parish to throw off the environmentalists.
Now, do you know that for a fact?
Well, we have a series of these unusual events, Jim, that take place. Changing of the name on the bayou in the public bidding process, changing of the names on the parishes. It's a series of events that, as we presented to the jury, it was obvious that this wasn't just sheer error. It was an orchestrated planned scheme that they actually pulled off.
297-5633, your number. Greg in Catahoula. You're on Talk Louisiana, Greg, with Dan Collins. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Dan Collins is a hero. Dan Collins and I are both members of an organization called the Atchafalaya Basin Keeper. And without the kind of leadership that we have to try to protect the Atchafalaya from illegal development and illegal projects.
Go ahead, Greg. We had to cut you off for just a moment, but please continue.
I'm sorry. The basin would have been clear-cut for cypress mulch about 3 years ago, would have been clear-cut for wood pellets about 2 years ago. The things that go on out in the Atchafalaya Basin, people need to know about, and the only way they can find out, really, is by following people like Dan Collins and by joining Atchafalaya Basin Keeper.
Thank you, Greg. Dan?
All right.
That's right. Greg has been an advocate of the basin for a number of years. We both sit on the board of the Atchafalaya Basin Keeper. It's a member of Water Keeper Alliance. And this type of event goes on practically every day. It was just fortuitous that I happened to be the contractor that was working on this project. I was considered a public employee. But, you know, folks try to bring this kind of information forward all the time. There's little to no policing at all that goes on in the basin. And so if it wasn't for people like Greg, Dean Wilson, who was the Chaffalai Basin Keeper, myself, and a number of this, we have over 1,000 members in our organization. But people need to speak out when they see this type of activity.
Well, what is happening now? Is anything being done to address this?
Right now, surprisingly, nothing has happened as far as an investigation into the Bayou Postillion matter. We've since uncovered a second dredge again on the same landowner's property where the same event took place. They changed the name on the bayou on public bidding for oil and gas leases. The state dredge using state funds. We're talking millions of dollars that have been spent of taxpayer money dredging for oil and gas access. Here we are in this coastal restoration. We're trying to get money out of Washington, and we have these type events going on.
As a whistleblower and a person doing business with the state, are you seeing a diminished workload?
That's what the suit was all about, Jim. When I started the whistleblowing in 2007 by bringing it to Secretary Angell, basically, I did receive two additional contracts, but they were the lowest amount that I had ever received over a 12-year period, actually. The other contracts that I bid on, I didn't get, and we believe it was a direct result as in a form of reprisal, and that's when we ultimately decided to file suit in June of 2010.
And it took to December of 2015 for the judgment to come, $750,000. 15 months later, you say you haven't received your money from the state. So when will that happen?
That's a good question, Jim. We are patient. I can tell you the wheels of justice do turn very slow. However, we're very positive that the First Circuit will agree with the jury's finding because, again, it's pretty straightforward. There was an effort by the state to try to say that I confused the jury. No, Jim, we didn't confuse the jury. It's pretty obvious. In fact, if you go out today, you'll see what used to be a beautiful cypress-lined bayou is nothing more than an oil field access canal.
We've got about 30 seconds, but did you have to think long and hard to do this?
No, I didn't, Jim. I'm very passionate about the outdoors. I'm a fisherman myself. This was touted to be for fishermen and crawfishermen. And this was for the private gain and benefit of some politicians along with some landowners.
Well, Dan Collins, thank you for joining us. And once again, the story that brought much of this to light was a cover story from the Business Report, Swamp Tale, about Dan Collins' 10-year battle with the state over the Chaffalai Basin. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.